is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and I imagine Dr. Mohler's putting his tux on about now, getting ready for the inaugural activities tonight. I'm willing to bet he's probably not going to dance, but he's going to be there, and he's going to be observing what's going on, and we're looking forward to hearing from him today. He's going to call in to the program whenever he can and give us his observations on what took place today, so I know you'll want to hear that. Today I want to talk to you about, as we're beginning these inaugural festivities, what ought we to hope for? And by we, I mean Christians, evangelicals, and traditional Roman Catholics, and cultural conservatives who supported George W. Bush for president. What should we hope for the next 4 years? How can we keep from either having too high expectations or having too low expectations? How do we keep from being completely crushed if at the end of the 4 years we haven't seen utopia in the United States of America, which we're not going to see, according to Scripture? But at the same time, how do we simply keep from just marching off and letting things roll along as always since the foundation of the world? I want your thoughts on this. Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let me know what you expect 4 years from now when we're standing around looking at the inauguration of a new president, the 44th president of the United States, whoever he or she may be. What do you think we will have seen happen in the Bush administration? What can we honestly and reasonably hope for? And what would cause you to sit down in front of your television set as you see George W. Bush in the year 2009 get on the helicopter heading toward Crawford, Texas, and say, you know, he did exactly what I think he should have done as president under God? Give us a call and let us know, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and join the conversation. You know, there is a lot of celebrating going on in the nation's capital today, and it's not just by Bush partisans. The New York Times has an article talking about how Christian conservatives are jubilant today with the inauguration of George W. Bush, and they even have Barry Lynn, our friend, who is the executive director of Americans United for Church and for Separation of Church and State, who can always be counted on to stand back with a look of gloom and distress when anything is going on, who says in the New York Times that he is horrified, and I mean horrified, by what's going on at the inauguration because it's too Christian. And what he says is, at a time when the president should be acutely aware of the religious differences within the country and the world, he's choosing to turn it into a distinctly Christian event. Now, I just don't know. I mean, maybe I'm not sensitive enough, but I really think I am probably hypersensitive to anyone prostituting Christianity for political purposes. I hate it when I see it happening, but to be honest with you, I didn't see that happening today. Instead, I saw a group of people gathering to ask God's blessings on the new leader of the United States of America, and I really do not think that Christianity was used for political purposes today, nor do I think that America's other religions were in any way disrespected. For instance, Kirby John Caldwell, the president's pastor from Houston, United Methodist pastor who prayed 4 years ago and caused quite a stir when he prayed in Jesus' name, stood up this time. He prayed in Jesus' name. And, well, let's just listen to what he said.
And now unto you, O God, the one who always has been and always will be, the one King of kings and the true power broker, we glorify and honor you, respecting persons of all faiths. I humbly submit this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now, see, I don't know how anybody has anything to complain about in that prayer. For one thing, I say high five to Kirby John Caldwell. My hat's off to him for praying in Jesus' name. That is an act of courage these days for a Christian pastor to stand up and to pray in Jesus' name. Because so many of them, and there may be some of you listening to the program right now who do the same thing, not an inauguration, but when you're asked to pray at the Rotary Club, so fearful and so scared and so afraid to use the name of Jesus because you might offend someone that you stand up and say, "In your name we pray." What a weaselly thing to do for a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, Kirby John Caldwell didn't do that. He prayed in Jesus' name knowing that Christians only come before God through the mediator, Jesus Christ. And at the same time, he said, "I respect other faith traditions. We recognize that there are other people here who don't believe this. They're also American citizens. But I'm offering this prayer in Jesus' name." I think that we should all applaud him, even people who aren't Christians. I don't see how on earth you could be offended by a Christian minister praying in Jesus' name. But some people will be. What we want to talk about today is, do you think that we ought to have, what kinds of expectations ought we to have for the Bush administration 4 years from now? When we're looking back and we see what's happening, what has happened with the Bush administration, what would we like to have seen accomplished, and how do we keep our expectations from getting too high? Now, you know, liberals have had the problem for years of having high expectations for government. I mean, you think of, for instance, Lyndon Johnson launching the war on poverty, and you had an entire generation of people really believing that they were going to roll back poverty through the government, that you were going to have a guaranteed annual income for all people, and that there was going to be liberty and justice for all, meaning equality of income, and that we would no longer have poverty. Now, the problem with that is that you've made the government into a messiah. The government can't do that. It doesn't have the power to do that. And frankly, we don't want it to have the power to do that. Because if it did, that's a Tower of Babel type situation. That is a government that is far too powerful. But at the same time, you've had Christians on the right who sometimes have had way too high expectations for the government. We really think sometimes that if we elect someone who is an evangelical Christian, someone who shares our convictions and shares our expectations, that in 4 years, you're going to have liberty, decency, and justice in the United States of America and throughout the world forever and ever. Amen. Now, that's also a messianic view of government. It's a way of thinking that the government is going to be able to accomplish what only Jesus Christ can accomplish as king. So how do we avoid that? Because you know what happens? You have so many people, you think about during the Reagan administration, for instance, how so many people who were so enthusiastic about Ronald Reagan, at the end of the 8 years, they looked back and said, "Hey, we didn't outlaw abortion. Hey, we didn't do this and we didn't do that." And then they just kind of walked away from the process. Well, maybe their expectations were too high from the very beginning. But at the same time, if we start out here at the beginning of the second term and we say, "Well, we elected George W. Bush and so we escaped John Kerry. We escaped John Kerry putting more activist judges on the court and all of that kind of thing, and now we're just not worried about it anymore." Well, is that really all we want to say? Do we want to have that low of an expectation of what we want to see the Bush administration accomplish in the next 4 years? How do you balance those two things out? And how do we explain to our churches that when we're praying for President Bush and for the Bush administration and for the Congress and for the courts, these are the kinds of realistic expectations in a fallen world that we ought to be looking for? These are the things that we can say after 4 years, "Yeah, I think that he did the very best under God that he could do in these situations, and I'm happy." And we want to know what you think. Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let us know your expectations for the next 4 years of the Bush administration on issues like abortion. Do you expect abortion to be illegal in the year 2009 after 4 years of a Bush administration, after President Bush has put maybe some nominees on the Supreme Court? What are your expectations for abortion? What about the war on terror? If in 2009 we still have a color-coded terror alert going on as we're inaugurating the new president of the United States, are you going to think that that's been a failure? Or what should we expect? Iraq. I mean, all of us are concerned about what's going on in Iraq. What should we expect President Bush to do there? Taxes, Social Security. I mean, what do we really want President Bush to do, and what do we really think is going to happen? How do we keep our expectations high enough without trying to turn the Bush administration into the second coming of Jesus Christ? And how do we explain to our churches and to say, look, let's pray for the president and yet recognize that we're living in a fallen world, and let's keep our expectations high, but not too high. Give us your thoughts. Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And let us know, what do you expect from 4 years of George W. Bush, the second go-around? And we'll take your calls and your conversation when we return. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and no, hail to the chief is not for me and not for Dr. Mohler, but today is Inauguration Day 2005. Many of you have watched the inaugural festivities, and what I want to know from you is, what do you think we ought to expect from 4 years of George W. Bush, the second go-around? Give us a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK, and give us your input. How do we keep our expectations high without expecting too much from George W. Bush and the Bush administration? Let us know, what do you think we ought to have seen 4 years from now at Inauguration Day 2009? And we have a guest on the line, and it is Dr. Mohler. Dr. Albert Mohler is on the line calling from Washington, where he is at the inauguration. Dr. Mohler, are you there?
I'm here, Russ. It's great to be with you. Let me tell you, it's a warm day in Washington, but only on the inside. The weather's really, really blasting cold.
Well, as you said in your crosswalk commentary this morning, it always is at Inauguration Day for some reason.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, this day turned out to be a little prettier than expected. We had snow yesterday that really messed up the city, even in terms of people being able to get in. Reagan-Washington National Airport had delays up to 3, 4, and 5 hours, and so a lot of people were getting here late. But there was a tremendous excitement in the air, and this morning the sun actually came out just before the inaugural ceremony began. So it was very cold. We're talking about a wind chill down well below freezing, somewhere between about 5 and 15 degrees, depending on the wind speed. But there was a tremendous warm feeling in the air when President Bush got up to speak, and, of course, the entire festivity for the inauguration. And, you know, with all the security concerns and everything else, with crowd control and with a post-9/11 approach to the security question that really some people didn't even believe would work. It was a great thing to realize. It went very well.
Yeah, the only security breach I've heard of is a snowball hitting the vice president's limousine.
Yeah, and you know, it was a picture almost like Norman Rockwell looking out there on the mall, because if you saw it on television, you would have seen there were families out there. My family and I walked into the area of our assignment. We walked along with other families, some of them carrying young children, and in fact, walking through the snow, through all the security, and through the crowd control. At one point, one father said to about a two-year-old, "You better remember this." He was there to see history, and I'm sure he will remember it.
Well, most of us are watching this on the networks or on Fox News or MSNBC or CNN. What are we not seeing on television that's important going on there?
Well, there is an enormous sense of history in the making here in the city. And the amazing thing is that Washington has only one concern these days, and that's the inauguration of the President of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, federal offices closed at 2 o'clock, and it really is true that on this day, there are very few Republicans and very few Democrats. Now, at the parties, that's a different thing. But for the ceremonial part, it was fascinating. I thought it was a tremendous sign of the continuity of American constitutional government to the world. When the fanfares played and you had President Jimmy Carter, President George H.W. Bush coming forward and being recognized, and then President Bill Clinton, all former presidents, all there to be witnesses to the swearing-in for the second term of George W. Bush. And by the way, Russ, I think the big take-home of this entire inauguration is America talking to the world even more than America's president talking to this nation.
Well, and you can tell that from the inaugural speech, which was really directed toward a big global picture.
Well, we were told that. We had word that had come from the White House that the president was going to be really addressing himself to the world, and he certainly did. As a matter of fact, if you take his address, which, by the way, I thought was very powerful, and I'd like to say a few words about that in a moment, that very powerful address was mostly addressed to the world, because in his second term, it's clear that George W. Bush has big plans for America's leadership in the world. He spoke about one very consistent theme, and that was liberty. Mm-hmm. And freedom. And let me just tell you, I thought there were two incredibly powerful lines in his address that stand out above all others. He said that the survival of liberty in this land depends upon the success of liberty in other lands.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Russ, just looking at inaugural addresses of presidents over the last 200-plus years, I can't imagine another president saying that. I think that makes sense only after 9/11.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you have little hints of it with the Marshall Plan and so forth after World War II, but nothing like this.
No, and to use the word survival like that, with the boldness and the calmness of George Bush this morning. And then the other thing he said was that we cannot carry the message of liberty around the world if we're carrying the baggage of bigotry at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so pointing right here to our own people, he said, look, we've got to deal with some very basic issues of racism and bigotry and all the rest. Be concerned for those Kirby John Caldwell, later called the least, the last, and the lost. And I thought he put it the entire picture, and this was the great, I thought, rhetorical success of the speech, Russ. He put it all in one picture. America's well-being, America's flourishing, and the survival of liberty here is going to depend upon the fact that we are a part of taking liberty elsewhere. And the words he spoke to foreign tyrants, foreign leaders, and foreign peoples, I thought was just very, very, I thought they were very powerful.
And a not so subtle mention of the abortion culture, linking that with the cause of liberty.
But that to me was the secret, the genius of the entire address, because everything came back to whether or not we really believe in liberty. If we really do believe in freedom and liberty, then we're going to have to look at the world in this way, he said. And world, you're going to have to know this is what America is going to see and what America is going to do. But then turning internally, everything from economics to abortion and furthermore to racism all came back to the same issue.
Well, I don't know about you, Dr. Moeller, but I'm a big fan of Kirby John Caldwell's prayer today. I think that he was bold and courageous to mention the name of Jesus.
Well, just remember the criticism that he himself faced after the 2001 inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, by the way he ended his prayer was distinctively Christian. In other words, he recognized that there are others who aren't Christians.
Right.
But he said that he prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, that's what I think we should expect of Christians in public prayer. We should not assume that everyone's praying in the name of Jesus Christ. Frankly, we've got a theology that tells us that isn't so.
That's right.
But we must ourselves pray in the name of Jesus. Otherwise, we're not praying as Christians.
That's right. You know, Barry Lynn is quoted today in the New York Times saying that he finds the whole thing just too Christian today.
Well, you know, Barry Lynn finds the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ too Christian to begin with, not to mention any time anyone invokes the name of Jesus. You know, just look at what happened, by the way, and let me just let you in on a little vignette that was absolutely fascinating. Last night, I was at a dinner where we were led in prayer by the mother of Michael Newdow's daughter.
Is that right?
And she led in the prayer, in the Pledge of Allegiance, and let me say, she put in the words, "Under God."
Wow.
It was a very powerful moment because, you know, it is her daughter, also Michael Newdow's daughter, who was at the center of this whole controversy over the Pledge of Allegiance, because Michael Newdow claimed her standing, claimed to be acting on her behalf. And, of course, her mother is a Christian and the little girl's a Christian. And so that pretty much put the lie to the whole picture.
Okay. Dr. Moeller, are you staying with us or are you going to your events at this point?
I have other events to go to here, and I'll be ready to tell you about those tomorrow. This is a day filled with all kinds of activity and about a three-day period in which the inauguration of the president takes over everything.
All right. Well, we will check in with you tomorrow, Dr. Moeller, and let us know what has happened tonight.
I'll do it.
And we want you to join the conversation. Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. and let us know. What do you think Christians ought to expect from 4 years of a Bush administration? We're all celebrating Republicans, Democrats, Independents. It's a new administration, a new day. Well, how do we keep our expectations high without making them too high? And join us by telephone, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. We just heard from him. He's chilling and chattering in Washington, D.C. His Florida DNA is just not made for that cold of weather, but I think he's excited to be there and is going to have all kinds of insights for us tomorrow about the festivities and meetings tonight and what's going on as we start off a new 4 year Bush administration. Give us a call and let us know what you think about the Bush administration. How do we have an expectation of President Bush doing what he was elected to do without setting our expectations so high that they're unrealistic? Now, 4 years from now, when you're looking back at this 4 year term, what do you think President Bush ought to have accomplished? What do we have a right to expect? And we have on the line Eric, who is listening on WTBN in Tampa. And Eric, man, I'm sorry that you have had to wait this long, but it's good to have you with us on the Albert Mohler Program. Eric, are you there? Well, apparently Eric waited just a little bit too long, and so we're going to go to Mark, who is listening on XM Radio in Waynesville, Missouri. Mark, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you, sir.
What do you think about the Bush administration? What do we have a right to expect?
I think that very possibly the most surprising benefits to a second Bush term may occur after he leaves office for this very specific reason. I became most convicted to pray for him the day after the election.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the possible effect of the Spirit of the one true God to sanctify this nation by working through the repentant heart of a George Bush may very likely occur after he leaves office if the people of God pray that God raises up a King Solomon to build and to plant after this David, which he has given us, leaves. It's kind of a type.
What would that look like for you? To build what? I mean, what do you think we ought to expect
actually,
to see?
Actually, I don't want to conserve the Christian freedoms which we've enjoyed. I want to take back the unrighteousness or push back the unrighteousness which is spread. Yeah, I'd like to overturn Roe versus Wade. Yes, it is possible. Anything is possible with God.
Mm-hmm.
But the effect of the presence of God occupying that White House for 4 years and steeping the climate of the government and the nation in prayer, because I believe that as our chief executive, he works as a covering over this nation, I think the effects may be most great even after he leaves office. I think just right now, you're right, most Christians probably have let their guard down. We want a great victory.
Mm-hmm.
Why should we pray now? After the enemy will let his guard down after Bush leaves. They know what they have in the office right now.
Yeah, well, thanks for that word, Mark. I think Mark's got really high expectations of what's going to happen in 4 years of a Bush administration. Do you agree? I mean, what do you think we ought to realistically expect from a Bush administration, and how do we keep from just becoming messianic about the power of government? I mean, how do we realistically say to the people in our churches, look, this is what belongs to the government to do, and this is what we can expect the Bush administration to do, and this is what we really can't. Give us a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let us know what you think. We have on the line John, who is listening on WFIA here in Louisville, Kentucky. John, what do you think?
Well, I think the best thing that he can do would be to basically lead by example, because, I mean, we still have a secular government, and for a lot of the things that some people may expect, such as like reversing Roe v. Wade and things like that. I think the biggest stumbling block would be the Supreme Court and the lower courts. But I think, you know, as with any leader, if he leads by example, that would be probably the most influential thing that he could do for the country.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, John. Now, what do you think? What should we expect from another 4 years of a Bush administration? Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Now, see, I think John's right. It is possible that Roe versus Wade will be overturned in the next 4 years, and I hope and pray that it is. But at the same time, I don't think we ought to bank everything on Roe versus Wade being overturned, because even if Roe versus Wade is overturned, that's just the first step. I mean, you've got 50 states that have to outlaw abortion, and then you have to have churches and communities redeeming a culture so that you have families that actually welcome children and see children as a good thing. And so I don't want us just to simply think that after 4 years of a Bush administration, if all we do is have the right judges, we're going to overturn abortion. We need to say it's going to take that and then more. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't know. Maybe some of you can say we don't have any right to expect anything out of a Bush administration. Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let us know, what are you expecting from the Bush administration? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler on Inauguration Day 2005. Remember back when we were wondering who's going to win the presidential election? Is it going to be Kerry? Is it going to be Bush? Well, today it's Bush, and we're seeing this inaugural festivity taking place before our eyes on our television screens and on our radios. And what I want to ask you is, what do you think we ought to expect from another 4 years of President George W. Bush? Do you think that his administration is just going to run out of steam and fizzle out? Or do you think he's really going to be able to accomplish some things that were on the minds and hearts of people like you when you went into the voting booths in November? What do you think? Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And how do we keep an expectation that's realistic, it's not too high and not too low, from what we can expect from George W. Bush? Let us know, 877-893-8255, and join the conversation. And we've got Eric listening on WTBN in Tampa. He is back. At least I think he's back. Are you with us, Eric?
Yes, sir, I'm with you.
Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. What do you think?
Well, I think if we should expect from Bush for the next 4 years, if we're going to keep this war on terrorism going, he needs to stay, him and Rumsfeld need to stand behind our troops. Don't listen to what the press says or anybody else says about them, and stick behind them instead of turning tail when all of a sudden some minor little thing happens like the prison scandal in Iraq and just throw our troops under the bus. I mean, that's just not good business there, my personal opinion.
Do you think the president's been supporting the troops up to this point?
He has to a point, but I think the moment that something goes wrong, I think he pays attention too much to the press and kind of turns his back on them. I don't think he intentionally does that, but I think he's trying to appease both sides. And in this war of terrorism, you can't appease both sides. You've got to support the troops 100%, or you're not going to win the war. That's my personal opinion.
Well, Eric, I agree with you on the point, although I have to say, if President Bush is trying to appease the press when it comes to the war on terrorism, then he is failing miserably, because the press is sniping just as much as they ever have been, and he seems to be just pushing right on ahead. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm missing something here, but I think that the president has shown some resolve here, whether you agree with him or not, on Iraq and on the war on terror. I'm just really hoping that in the next 4 years, that when we come to Inauguration Day 2009, that we're all saying to ourselves, yeah, remember Osama bin Laden? Remember the day they found him? That would be great. What do you think? Give us a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let us know what you expect from a Bush administration. And we have William on the line. William, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Good afternoon.
Hello. What's on your mind today?
Yes, I'd like to say we need to be aware of it. I think Christ has already told us what's going to happen, like the days of Noah. The war on terror, I don't think it's ever going to end. I think it's been going on between mankind for years and for centuries. And as for what our government is going to accomplish, I think we need to take a lesson from Christ in his thousand-year reign in the millennium. Even at that time, at the end of it, when Satan was released, a man went back to what it was before. That sounds fatalistic, but it's not really. What it's actually saying is that what God has told us is absolutely true. And that's the nature that man is headed for.
So, William, what do you think? Should we just kind of throw our hands up and say it's all going to hell in the handbasket and let's just wait for it to all come down?
No, absolutely not. In fact, what we are to do is to try to love people into the kingdom of God. And that's what our government can do. Now, if we can stop abortion, that's great. If we can stop the terror and the war on terror, that's great, too. But I really don't think it's going to happen because Christ has already told us not going to.
All right. Well, thanks, William. See, now, folks, this is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about too low expectation. When William's saying we know that things are going to get worse and worse and worse, yeah, I agree with him. Long term, you're always going to have the world under the sway of the wicked one. But just like you've got some people who think that government can simply restore the kingdom of God on earth, you have some people who think, well, that means that we can do virtually nothing. Well, yeah, we can't usher in the kingdom of God on Air Force One, but we can make sure that our government officials exercise Romans 13 accountability for justice. Simple justice as government rulers are commanded to maintain in terms of, for instance, protecting vulnerable unborn children and making sure that terrorists do not destroy innocent human life. In one sense, I agree with William. The war on terror has been going on since Cain slaughtered Abel out in the field and will go on until Satan is cast into the lake of fire. That's the capital W war on capital T terror. But there's another war on terror, on global terrorist networks right now. And just as we pushed back Cold War communism, I think that we can push back Islamic fascism and terrorism, and I think we have to. And if we say, well, things are going to get worse and worse, so there's nothing we can do, well, really, we've returned to the days of Noah, in which there is no accountability for justice, no sense of value of human life. And so I think we need to make sure that our expectations are a little higher than what William just articulated here, although his main point, yeah, I agree with. We've got John, who is listening. And John, what's your thoughts on this issue? John, are you with us? John's not here. John's gone. But let me tell you what John's asking about. I saw his message up on the screen. He says we need to pray and hope that the Bush administration makes it through 4 years without a scandal. And I know what he's thinking about. What he's talking about is that you see so many second terms that have a major scandal. You think of the Reagan administration with Iran-Contra. You think of the Clinton administration with Monica Gate. You think about the Nixon administration with Watergate, and there's kind of a historic pattern here of second terms having a major scandal. I'm really not all that worried about that with the Bush administration. What I am worried about is a bored press corps, frankly, because when you have a bored press corps, they're going to be looking for something that's a major scandal in order to spice things up. That kind of worries me, and I'm afraid that we might have some kind of gotcha journalism over the next 4 years, whether or not there's a real scandal or not. We've got Kenneth listening on WTBN in Tampa. Kenneth, I'm going to take your call when I come back because we're running out of time on this segment, but we're going to take your call when we come back and ask, what should we be expecting from the Bush administration? What are you expecting from the Bush administration over the next 4 years? Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Are you like William? Do you think, you know, things are just going to get worse and worse and worse until the coming of the Lord Jesus? So let's simply concentrate on evangelism and let's concentrate on reaching the lost and just let the world go into the trash heap? Or should we have expectations that are a little higher than that? Or are you like some of our callers who really almost seem to think that they think that the next 4 years of the Bush administration might reverse unrighteousness forever? Give us a call. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and today we're talking about another 4 years of the Bush administration. Some of you had signs held up in November, 4 more years. Well, you got it, 4 years starting today. And the question is, what should we be expecting in the next 4 years? We have Kenneth listening on WTBN in Tampa. Kenneth, just as quickly as you can, what do you think?
Well, I think anybody that's biblically educated will know that we walk by faith and not by sight. So I don't think that it's a lot that we can expect to see, but we also know that the Bible prophesies certain things that will come to pass and have to come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Like as Mark 13:7 says, but when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet come. And then also in Job, it talks about the four horsemen. And so when we see war, yes, we are to stand for what's Christ-like and be in his likeness. However, we know that certain things have to come to pass, and we know that
yeah.
it will take place because they have been prophesied. Now, as far as the president is concerned, the only thing we can do is pray for his strengthening and pray for his increased faith, so that God can direct him in whatever way that God will have him walk.
Well, I agree with you on that. We do need to be praying for the president, no matter who the president is. And I'll tell you, as we think about 4 years of a Bush administration, I think that we have a right to expect certain things, but I don't think that we ought to start thinking of the government, whether we're on the right or the left, as a messiah. And so we need to say there are some things we can expect from a Bush administration, like Romans 13, that he and his administration will wield the sword against evildoers and maintain justice for the vulnerable. And I think that he was exactly right today to tie an abortion culture to the war on terror, because they're symptoms of the same problem of a devaluing of human life. He needs to protect these things. He needs to make sure that government doesn't get too big, that as Jesus says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, that Caesar doesn't take any more than he deserves. And I think that means that he appoints people to the Supreme Court who are going to be looking out for constitutional liberty and justice. But even then, people, we need to keep in mind that doesn't settle the issue. We need to have in our churches a microcosm of the kingdom of God, so that we're saying to the outside world, hey, we hope that our government is just and we hope that our government is right. But if you want to know what peace and joy and righteousness and the kingdom of God looks like, come and look within our churches and see it in people who are redeemed and regenerated and proclaim, yeah, we're in support of George W. Bush. Yeah, we're praying for the president. And Jesus is Lord. And that last clause is the most important. We'll hope you'll join us tomorrow as we continue the conversation on the issues that matter. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening. And be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows, Dr. Mohler's daily crosswalk commentary, and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.